الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين واللعنة على أعدائهم أجمعين.
We are discussing about the difference in Imamat between the Isna Ashari
and the other sects of Islam. So the Isna Ashari believe that, let me first write down what others believe. Others believe that the Holy Prophet did not appoint anyone. And left the matter of imamat and leadership up to the people. Whereas Isna Ashari believe that imamat is fi'lullah, is the job of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do. Just like Allah appoints the prophets,
He is the only one who can appoint an imam. It's nothing to do with the people. And I also told you the difference between an act which belongs to the usul al-deen and an act which belongs to the furu al-deen. The difference is that usul al-deen is something which is fi'lullah, it's Allah's job to do, whereas furu al-deen is something which is fi'lun nas, it's the people's job to do. As the prayers, the fasting, Hajj, and so on and so forth. Those are all furu deen. It's people's job to do. It's not the job of Allah to do. Whereas things which are Allah's job and His domain, they all fall in the category of usul al-deen. And that's the reason Isna Ashari believe that imamat is something which is part of the beliefs in usul al-deen. Because it's Allah who appoints the Prophet and it's Allah who appoints the deputy of the Prophet, the Imam. Whereas other sects of Islam believe that imamat and leadership is part of furu al-deen, so people have to elect and they have to decide. But that's where the fundamental difference between us and other sects of Islam lies.
It's not, like I was saying in the last lesson, it's not contradictory to the ittihad bain al-muslimin that we believe and promote. It's not contradictory to the concept of ittihad bain al-muslimin, because it's very important to learn the differences, so that when you talk about the unity, you know exactly what are the points of differences and where you have to be, how you have to deal and behave with each other. What is problematic is not to learn about the differences in a very scholarly and academic and healthy environment. What is harmful is tawheen, the insult, and takfir, that means announcing other people to be kafir, and likewise the ta'assub, that means the prejudice, spreading the hate and prejudice. This is harmful for the concept of unity. And besides, the actual concept of unity in ittihad is not the ittihad in the belief, you know. A Shia is a Shia and a Sunni is a Sunni. So nobody is going to convert into another sect of Islam without studying books and without getting convinced with those evidences and those signs. But the concept of ittihad is actually a political ittihad. Political ittihad means getting united against common enemies who are trying to uproot Islam and uproot all of us and both of us. That's the real concept of ittihad and wahdat in Islam. We have political ittihad, not the ittihad in aqidah and ideology, which is impossible. There have been correspondences taking place between very, very famous correspondences. Between Ayatollah al-Ughma Ayatollah al-Ughma Sayyid Sharafuddin al-Musawi Rahmatullah alayhi, one of our very, very great and famous scholars. We call him, usually we refer him to Al-Imam Sharafuddin. So those are the personalities, those are the mujtahids in our history who have led political movements and political awareness services in their life are referred as Imam, like Imam Baqir al-Sadr, like Imam Khomeini, So those of the scholars, those of the mujtahids who have led political awareness and social awareness and political and social services in the community are the ones whom we refer as imams, so leaders. So Ayatollah al-Ughma Imam Sharafuddin al-Musawi, who is the author of the famous book Al-Muraja'at, translated into English as The Right Path. It's already available, it's translated. Largest numbers of the Sunni brothers who converted into Shias were because of this book written by Imam Sharafuddin. And those were the correspondences that took place between him and Sheikh Shaltut, Sheikh al-Azhar, the head and head of the Al-Azhar University of Cairo. And after those correspondences, the Sheikh Al-Azhar accepted the Isna Ashari as one of the sects of Islam. Earlier they didn't used to even recognize the Shias as Muslims. Look at the extent of ignorance. So they recognized the Isna Ashari's to be Muslims, and they induced the Isna Ashari sect in the syllabus of Al-Azhar, and it is still there. There is a faculty of Shia religion still existing in Jamiat Al-Azhar. That was all because of the correspondence of Imam Sharafuddin and the Muraja'at. So basically it's not contradictory, but it's helpful to learn the differences. Because anyway, we believe in not the ideological ittihad, but we believe in the political ittihad against the common enemies for the common goals, not in the same of ideology, because there are differences available. There's lots of lies spread in the middle by the enemies of Islam and their puppets in Islamic countries intentionally to divide the community. You can find countless lies. Most of the famous, one of the most famous ones is that the Shias believe in a different Quran, and that's a very, very commonly spread lie. So basically it's the ignorance which is used, ignorance of the ignorant people, which is being constantly used over centuries by the enemies of Islam to divide. This our ignorances which are dividing, lack of political awareness. There are lots of differences between countries in Europe with each other, but we find they're all united against their common for the sake of their common goals. So there are differences among Democrats and Republicans, but when it comes to Patriot Act, they are all united. So there are lots of differences among different people and countries, but they are all united for their common goals. Look at the differences between England and Spain over Gibraltar, and differences between England and Norway over North Sea fishing rights, and so on and so forth, and differences between Greenland and Denmark, and there are parts of Austria occupied by Italy, and there you can point so many differences available, but they're all united for their common goals, for their common political goals. That's what the unity meant when Imam Khomeini talked about unity.
It's not ideological unity, which is impossible. Some people still consider it to be ideological unity and get stuck and start objecting on Imam Khomeini because of their own ignorance.
They don't understand what he said. So Imamat, we believe, is something which is, it's a necessity and zarurat of human life. Just like the humans need a prophet, similarly the humanity needs an imam without a difference. The difference between the prophet and the imam, of course, is that the prophet receives the wahi and revelation directly upon his soul, whereas the imam does not receive a revelation on his soul. Instead, he receives an ilham. So the same sharia or the book which has been revealed on the messenger, the same sharia is being protected by the imam after the departure of the prophet or the messenger. So the sharia needs to be protected. In order to protect, there has to be a person who practices the sharia completely and has the nur of that book in his soul completely. So every messenger is the madhar of the teachings given to him and revealed unto him, and madhar of the sharia and madhar of the book that has been given to him. Since the Holy Quran is the most superior and final and comprehensive book, so which is superior and nasikh, invalidating agent, that invalidates the previous books and previous sharia. So since the Holy Quran is the most superior book and nasikh towards the previous books, so we find the Quran is the most superior. So the Holy Prophet upon whom the Quran has been revealed is the one who has the entire nur of Quran in his qalb, the soul which receives the entire Quran has to be the soul which is superior to the soul of all the previous prophets who did not receive a book as high as the Holy Quran, as comprehensive as the Holy Quran, did not receive a book which is nasikh for all the previous books. So it's logically understandable that the qalb and soul of the Holy Prophet is the only soul which receives the most superior book with the most perfect and comprehensive teachings. That's one of the reasons why he is the most superior. Now, someone who is sitting on the chair of the Holy Prophet after the Holy Prophet has to be the person who also enjoys the similar level of knowledge of the Holy Quran that he is about to protect, and to practice the entire Quran, not partially, because when you promote the Quran, you have to protect and follow and practice yourself. So someone who is sitting in the chair of the Holy Prophet to continue with his job to protect the Quran and the Sharia has to have the same level of Nuraniyat of Quran and knowledge of the entire Quran, practice of the entire Quran, which means ismat and infallibility, means practicing the entire Quran to its complete and fullest level. So Imam has to be the one who has the knowledge of the whole Quran and practice of the whole Quran to protect it. If someone practices it partially, he is simply unable to protect the whole Quran. If Quran was left up to him, it would have been devastated. So Quran can only be protected by those who practice all the teachings and have the nur of entire Quran in their qalb.
That's the reason, one of the reasons why we stand in need of an imam having the same level of knowledge and same level of infallibility. Quran has already announced to us that Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu ittaqullaha wa kunu ma'as sadiqeen. And this ayat is a living legend for us to remember that they have to be masumeen at all times. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu ittaqullaha. Have taqwa of Allah. Wa kunu ma'as sadiqeen. And be with the truth tellers. Sadiqeen. Wa kunu ma'as sadiqeen. Sadiqeen are the ma'sumeen alayhi salatu wa salam. This ayat is not specific to one time only. There has to be sadiqeen available at all times. There is no qaid or shart or restriction or any strings attached to this. It's in an absolute form. This ayat is a dalil, an evidence on the existence of ma'soom in all times. There have to be sadiqeen available. No one who is an infallible, no infallible person can be sadiq. Because when you don't practice, when you make mistakes, you are not sadiq. Sadiq can only be a person who never makes mistakes. So sadiqeen can be no one else other than the masumeen alayhi salam, which have to be there at all times. Someone who is ja'izul khata, that means he can anytime commit a sin, can never be sadiq. A ja'izul khata person can never be sadiq. Someone who never commits any sin is a sadiq. Imamat concept and is not just the leadership it's not just the leadership in the ma'navi and ayat of the Quran is from Surah At-Tawbah, verse 119, for the reference. Surah At-Tawbah, 119. So, imamat is not just imamat in the religious affairs only. We have the concept of imamat including the ma'navi and takwini. And also imamat in the zahiri affairs, which is tashriq, and this is about the hukumi. So these affairs are called tashri'i, the political leadership, Hukumati and Zahiri affairs of this life, of this world, whereas the Ma'navi Imamat in the spiritual and spiritual affairs and on the Ma'naviyat is the one which is related to Walayat Takwiniya. So that's why we define the Walayat. Walayat means governance, rule. It's divided into two, Takwiniya and Tashri'iya. Tashri'iyya. The Sharia means the rule and the legislative rule. In terms of the legislation, so Zahiri, Zahiran, you are the ruler. So your legislations are in your control. You issue the ordinances and the legislations. This is called the political leadership. Hukmaran, Hakim. Zahiran. Whereas the walayat al-takwiniya is that walayat which actually takween is derived from the Arabic word of kaun. Kaun in Arabic means wujud, existence. Takweeniya means related to the affairs of existence. Affairs of all the existences.
That means that an imam of the time has control over all the existences in the universe because of his ma'navi taharat and cleanliness of the soul and kamal-e nafsani and taharat-e qalb, his spiritual perfection and cleanliness of the soul. He has the control of affairs and charge of affairs of all the existences. You know, so he has a walayat taqwiniya. That's the reason, because the imam of the time enjoys walayat taqwiniya, that's the reason why they show the miracles, mojiza. Because if they ask the stone to speak, the stone will speak. If they ask the tree to walk, the tree will start walking. If they do some, they indicate towards the moon, it will be broken into two pieces. They ask the star to come down, they do whatever, they say whatever, everything would follow and obey, because everything is already under their control. Why everything is musakhar and controlled? Because of the taharat, the complete taharat and cleanliness of the qalb and soul that they enjoy. So, after this point and these two divisions are clear, then what in Isna Ashari belief system we believe is that anyone who has walayatun takwiniya is the only person who has the right of walayatun tashri'iyya. So now we say to those sects of Islam that you have usurped the right of walayatun tashri'iyya from Imam Ali alayhi salam, so you became the ruler. Do you enjoy the walayat taqwiniya? If you don't have the walayat taqwiniya, that means the rest of the existences in the universe are not obedient to you because you do not enjoy the taharat of the qalb. Then in Islam, walayat tashri'iyya depends on walayat taqwiniya. When you don't have walayat taqwiniya, then you don't have the right to have the rule, political leadership on the community. Zahiran, you are not the ruler. So because taqwin tashri'iyya depends on the taqwiniyya. So imams are the rulers because they have the ruler on everything else. So they have the rules on us, rule on us as well. Because they are the rulers of on everything else, all the existences. So those who do not have the rule on everything else in the universe do not have the right to have the rule over us, the humans. Is it clear? Why do they enjoy the rule and control over all the mawjudat and existences? Because they have the ilmul kitab, ilm of the entire Quran in their soul. And why do we have the ilm of entire kitab? Because they have the amal, they practiced the ilm of the entire Quran. If you practice the knowledge and the noor of the knowledge, the noor of the ilm stays in your soul. If you don't practice, people may think you are an alim, but the noor is gone. So the reason why they have the rule over all the existences, walayat taqwiniya, is because of the ilm of kullul kitab, ilm of the entire book, entire Quran, which is the final book. And why the ilm of entire book is available in this whole, because they practice the whole Quran. So anyone who has the knowledge of the entire book and practices the entire book has to have the walayatul takwiniyatun mutlaqa, absolute control over the universe. So here is the power. The power lies in the book. That's the madhar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tajalla lahum subhanahu fi kitabihi. See how Imam Ali alayhi salam talks about the Quran.
Tajalla lahum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mutajalli. Allah ki tajalli hai is kitab ke andar. Allah ne apne jalwe ko pesh kiya hai. Allah appeared for them in the book, through his book. Tajalla lahum subhanahu fi kitabihi. In his book, Allah appeared in his book. Min ghayri wa min duna an yakunu yarawhu, without them seeing Allah. So it's a tajalli of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tartib minni. So,
Now this was the muqaddimah of the discussion about the differences that we have with the rest of the sects of Islam. Now let's go to the evidences why. Let's go to the segment why. Why we need an imam. This was the introduction to our discussion.
First reason why we stand in need of the Imam is human beings are ashraful makhluqat, the most superior of all the creatures. And they have a long way, because they are most superior, they have a long way to go towards the kamal, kamal-e-mutlaq, the absolute perfection, spiritual perfection, because we have a soul and a body.
And so we have to achieve the kamal and perfection for the soul to, in order for us to become
successful ma'naviyan, spiritually, and abadiyan, that means eternally. So Islam is such a beautiful religion which provides and guarantees our spiritual and eternal success. This is the reason why we stand in need of Islam. Because there is no other religion that can ensure us who are made of a soul and a body, the humans who are made of a soul and a body, there is no other religion which can ensure a spiritual success also, an eternal success for us, because the soul is created to remain forever, even after the life after death, even for the life after death. There is no other religion that guarantees spiritual and eternal success. So because we have to achieve this kind of kamal, and humans are the most superior of all the creatures, and we need to achieve the perfect kamal and absolute kamal spiritually and eternally. Despite the fact that we have been given aql and intellect, but we keep on making mistakes in our choices of life and khata, and nothing, and the law is there, the kitab and the sharia of the Holy Prophet is there, is available, but despite the fact the law is existing and available, we still keep on making mistakes. Despite the fact we have aql from inside to help us, but we still keep on making mistakes.
So nothing can guarantee the takamul-e-ma'navi, the spiritual and eternal perfection of a human being, despite the fact the law of book and Sharia is available and the Aql is available, but humans are continuously making mistakes. Nothing can guide them and stop them from the mistakes unless you can provide them a guide and a leader who is Mubarra and Munazzah and above and beyond the mistakes. A guide who is infallible is the only person who can guide us and stop us from making mistakes that we constantly do. A guide who himself is infallible is the only solution who can lead and serve as a legend. Unless if somebody intentionally, Amdan, wants to go towards the wrong direction, that's his own wrong choice. Nothing can be done about it. Allah didn't want to force us to accept the truth. Somebody Amdan and intentionally wants to go towards the wrong direction, that's his choice. But otherwise, those who are serious, those who want to achieve spiritual perfection, there has to be a guide who's infallible, above and beyond any kind of khata and mistake, to help us achieve the spiritual perfection. Now let's go to this qa'idatul lutf, the law. Qa'idatul means lutf, and qa'idah means the qanun, the law. Qa'idatul lutf means the law of lutf. What does the law of lutf say? It's a very important law in our ilmul kalam. The law of lutf says that first of all, what is lutf itself? Lutf is defined in ilmul kalam. We say Allah ka lutf hai, you know, it's a lutf of Allah, it's a lutf of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. What do we mean by lutf? Lutf is a technical term. Lutf means ma yuqarribul abdu ila ta'a wa yubaiduhu an al-maksiyah. That's the definition of lutf. Ma yuqarribul abda. Ma yuqarribul abda ila ta'a wa yubaiduhu anil ma'siyah. Lutf means anything that makes a person a servant of Allah, closer to Allah's obedience, and anything that makes the servant of Allah away from Allah's maksiyat and sin towards Allah. Maksiyat means sin that people do towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So lutf is everything which helps you do obedience and everything that helps you keep away from the sin. Every such thing is called lutf. When we say it's the lutf of Allah, this is what the meaning is. Everything that helps you do Allah's obedience and everything that helps you keep away from His sin, from the sin. Now, what is the qa'idatul lutf, the law of lutf? The law of lutf says that it's necessary on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, necessary for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to provide His lutf. That's the law of lutf. It's necessary for Allah, because Allah loves us, because Allah is our creator, because Allah wants to guide us, because Allah wants our eternal and spiritual success. it's necessary for Allah to provide His lutf for us. That means to arrange everything that may help us in achieve obedience, and to keep us away from everything that would help us, to provide, to help us in every which way that, you know, helps us to keep away from the sins. So that's the reason why the best of the lutf is the wujud of Imam of the time himself. Imam of the time himself is the biggest lutf of Allah, because Imam of the time himself is the best factor to make us close towards Allah's obedience after the Holy Prophet's departure for the guidance of the community. And Imam of the time is the best lutf of Allah to help us keep away from the sin. So it's important for, it's necessary for Allah to provide us the Imam at all times, who is the guide, to guide us towards His obedience and keep us away from the ma'asiyat, to resist and remove the taghuts and zalims and arrogance and those people who are introducing bid'at and invention in the religion. So according to the qa'idatul lutf, imamat is something which is necessary to be provided by Allah to install. So Allah always installs an imam after the prophets, after the Rasul. Allah always installs the imam. One imam has to be there always according to the law of lutf, and Allah will always provide His lutf for our guidance. Nasbul imam is wajib because of qa'idatul lutf. Installing the imam for the human community's guidance is incumbent and necessary for Allah because of the law of lutf. Now look at the discussion between Hisham ibn al-Hakam rahmatullahi alayh, the companion of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, and Hisham ibn al-Hakam and one of the famous personalities of the opposition of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. So this is the conversation that took place, that's narrated in Hidayatul Ummah, volume number 1. So here I will not write it, I think it's a long hadith, it may take longer time. Let me just read and translate it to you. Hisham ibn al-Hakam, one of the greatest companions of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, he said to this person, أَرَبُّكَ أَنْذَرْ لِخَلْقِهِ أَمْ خَلْقُهُ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Is your Lord, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a better supervisor for His creatures, or the creatures themselves can supervise on themselves? The guy replied, of course, it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a better supervisor. Qala bal rabbi anzar li khalqi. Allah, my Lord, is a better supervisor over the creatures. Qala fa'ala bi nadarihi ma lahum ma'ala. So what did Allah do when Allah is supervising? Let me, I think, write it down. It's a very good conversation, and it's worth to write down in that sequence because it helps to understand how Hisham ibn al-Hakam, which was one of the great scholars and students of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, how he overcomes his opposition of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. This person who belongs to the opposition, a big scholar, he said, is Hisham ibn al-Hakam said to this scholar of the opposition, is your Lord a better
supervisor Muraqib on people, all the people themselves. So the people themselves can supervise in a better way, better than Allah. And he replied, Allah, Allah is a better supervisor. So then Hisham said that, okay, what does Allah do when he is supervising over us? When he's supervising, what does he do?
He said, أَقَامَ لَهُمْ حُجَّةً
وَدَلِيلًا. And the guy replied, Allah, when he's supervising, because of he's supervising, so he installs حُجَّة, دَلِيل, and evidence for the people.
So the people are guided. كَيْ لَا يَتَشَتَّتُوا أَوْ يَخْتَلِفُوا.
So the people don't get divided.
Okay. Then
Hisham asked this guy, okay, Who is the Hujjat of Allah which Allah installed to guide the people so the people don't get into ikhtilaf and divisions? He said, Rasulullah. Allah installed His Messenger.
Okay. Now Hisham said,
Hisham asked, who? And the guy replied, he said, Rasulullah. Now then Hisham asked, okay, who was after Rasulullah? The guy replied, Book of Allah, Kitabullah, and Sunnah. Sunnah of Rasulullah.
Okay. Then Hisham said,
did the Book of Allah benefit us? To keep away from the ikhtilaf?
Can you claim that the Book of Allah is there? It's available. We are 73 sects in Islam, okay? So did the Book of Allah keep us away from becoming 73? We are still divided into 73 sects. Can the Book help us from not being divided? We are divided already. Book is there. Book is the book. It's the law. It's such a great book. It has abundant benefits. No one can deny the benefits of the book. But can the book benefit us from this aspect that we would not get divided into 73 sects? We are already divided. The book is there.
Can the book benefit us not to stay get divided? And he replied, yeah, let me erase this. Did the book benefit us from not getting divided into those sects? And he replied, yes. Book benefits us not getting divided. And Hisham said that, okay, when the book is divided, then if that's the case, then why am I and you disputing with each other? The book is still there. Why are we disputing? Why are we on the different sides? Fasakata. The guy has no answer. He has nothing to reply. He has no answer to reply.
Qala Abu Abdullah alayhi salam, ma laka la tatakallam.
Then Imam Salih alayhi salam said to the person,
Ram said, what happened? Why don't you, what happened to you? In other words, why don't you speak?
Why don't you speak?
قال إن قلت إن قلت لم تختلف كذبت وإن قلت إن الكتاب والسنة يرفعان الأثر أبطلت.
So, if you said that you don't dispute your line,
if you say that we have no ikhtilaf, you are lying, you have ikhtilaf with us. Of course, it would be a lie. And if you say that the book and sunnat can, when content al kitab wa sunnah yarfa'an al ikhtilaf, and if you say that the book and sunnat, these two things remove the ikhtilaf, the difference, these two things can remove the difference, you're wrong. You're wrong if you say that. That would be batil.
لأنهما يحتملان الوجود.
Because the book has, because those two, that means the book and sunnat, have several possibilities to be interpreted. In other words, several possible interpretations.
That's the reason. I mean, you interpret in your way, I interpret in my way. Isn't that right? So that's, so the interpretations are still there, and the ikhtilaf and division continues in the society. ثم إنه احتج على هشام بمثل ذلك إلى أن قال فما الحجة الساعة.
Then he continued to talk with Hisham, and he said to Hisham, okay, who is the Hujjat right now? And Hisham then pointed towards Imam Sadiq عليه السلام, saying هذا القائد الذي تشد إليه الرحال ويخبرنا بأخبار السماء ووراثة عن أب عن جد. This person who is sitting in front of us, indicating towards Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, Hisham said, this is the Hujjat. The person who is sitting in front of us talking about Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, to whom the people come, and he's the one who informs us about the akhbar and news of the ghaib. Conceivable world,
okay.
Which he has learned in Virasat and inheritance. This knowledge is coming from inheritance from his ancestors.
قال وكيف لي أن أعلم ذلك. So he said, okay, how can I know that
He is the one who is the Hujjat. So, Hisham
Fado, if you want to know, just ask him any question. You know? Salhu Amma Badalaka, ask whatever you want. In the Sadiq alayhi salam, akhbarahu bi jumlatin min al-maghibat, fa'amana al-rajul.
So then Imam Sadiq alayhi salam informed him about some of the news of the unseeable world, and basically that's how he became a mu'min. So book and sunnah is not sufficient after the Holy Prophet to remove the ikhtilafat and the differences that we have among ourselves, unless and until we turn to the Imam, the living Imam of the time, who guides us and removes the controversies about the multiple interpretations that people are doing because of their ignorance and not turning towards the right source. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ سَيِّدِنَا وَمُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ